This is Gavin Dahl with the KVNF Regional Newscast. Coming up, COVID-19 cases are increasing around the region and wait times for test results are getting longer. Cleaning up vandalism at the state capitol building comes with a big price tag. Republican governors are losing support in polls due to their handling of coronavirus. The National Domestic Abuse Hotline is seeing an uptick in calls. And so far in July, three major oil and natural gas pipelines have shut down in the U.S. One proposed project went to court. First, these headlines from Jody Peterson.
On Monday, Colorado education officials released guidelines for school districts reopening this fall. Although many school districts may choose to offer online learning or a hybrid model, in-person learning will also be allowed. For kindergarten through fifth grade, there will be no limits on class size. For middle and high schools, classroom sizes will differ by district and school. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports that the state's Commissioner of Education, Kath Anthes, admitted that there is a lot of anxiety in the air about the next school year. She said that the schools would take a layered approach to reduce risk. A major feature of that approach is establishing cohorts. The same group of students would attend classes together throughout the day. The Colorado Department of Education suggests that cohorts have recess and meals at staggered times and coordinate movements between classrooms to avoid mixing. The department also has guidelines on how to minimize the size and duration of student gatherings, maintain physical distance between students, and require mask wearing. That mask-wearing requirement doesn't apply just to schools. Last week, Governor Jared Polis issued a statewide mask mandate as the number of novel coronavirus cases continues to climb. Everyone over the age of 10 must wear a cloth face covering whenever they're anywhere indoors in a public space. However, Western Slope sheriffs and police departments, while they're encouraging everyone to comply with the mask order and all other public health orders, say they won't be actively patrolling for unmasked violators. Instead, reports the Montrose Daily Press, they will respond only to specific situations, such as complaints from businesses about customers who enter without masks and then refuse to leave. On Friday, Governor Jared Polis and the Department of Local Affairs announced a rental assistance program with nearly $20 million in federal CARES Act funding. According to the Montrose Daily Press, the Property Owner Preservation Program will help Coloradans make their rent and mortgage payments and stay in their homes.
COVID-19 cases are still increasing around the region, and the wait times for getting test results are getting longer for many. The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck reports.
In Montana, there's been recorded wait times of up to 2 weeks. Carl Bergstrom is a biology professor at the University of Washington, and he says that kind of delay isn't helpful for anyone.
You need to be able to get the results back during the infectious period, which is a median length of about 7 days. And ideally, much faster than that.
Requests for testing are up in the region, which implies longer waits are not discouraging people from getting tested, but Bergstrom says the wait can be stressful. Most states in the Mountain West have wait times within a week, but state officials say that's still too slow. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
In Colorado, the average is 4 days. State officials say some of the state's private partners in testing are facing backlogs because of the national companies they work with, and that's meant the state has taken on more tests, increasing the wait times for them, too. A Gallup poll from last week shows Republican governors are losing support over their handling of COVID-19. Cooper McKim reports for the Mountain West News Bureau.
According to an earlier poll by the Washington Post back in May, all but one governor enjoyed higher approval ratings than the president over their handling of the pandemic. But now, approval for Republican governors is falling, as those for Democrats remain steadily positive. The biggest swing has been among independent voters. For University of Wyoming's Dr. Ann Alexander, that makes sense.
They are much more likely to be pragmatic and not identify this pandemic and things like wearing masks and social distancing with a political ideology.
Alexander says the problem was these states shifted to a post-pandemic response before we were actually in a post-pandemic reality. She says the key to bouncing back as a nation is decoupling politics from the pandemic. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Cooper McKim.
Nationally, the domestic abuse hotline has seen an uptick in calls since the start of the coronavirus pandemic. That trend is reflected in our region. The Mountain West News Bureau's Amanda Peacher reports.
In Idaho, for example, the Women and Children's Alliance saw a nearly 200% increase in calls to its domestic violence hotline in April. Chris Davis is with the Boise nonprofit. She says COVID-19 lockdowns are stressful for everyone, but for victims of abuse, this is a really hard time.
There's a lot of people who are in situations that are really quickly getting much worse. They're isolated from friends and family. They're isolated from coworkers. They don't have access to their support networks.
Davis says they're seeing an increased demand for emergency shelter as well. At the same time, the pandemic has hit the organization financially, too. It had to permanently close a thrift store that funds operations. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Amanda Peacher.
Cleaning crews are starting to remove weeks' worth of vandalism around the state capitol complex in Denver. As KVNF's Scott Franz reports, it comes with a big price tag.
It will cost more than $1 million to fix up the Capitol, which was damaged during recent protests against police brutality. Demonstrators broke windows, spray-painted graffiti, and tore down a bronze statue honoring soldiers who died during the Civil War. They also slashed the tires on vehicles owned by state lawmakers. Doug Platt is a spokesman for the state's Department of Personnel. He says lasers and special chemicals are being used to remove the graffiti and that the cleanup is expected to last several months. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
And Amy Haddon-Marsh from our sister station KDNK in Carbondale reports that so far in July, three major oil and natural gas pipelines have shut down in the U.S., and one proposed project went to court.
The U.S. Supreme Court blocked construction of parts of the Keystone XL pipeline. The Dakota Access Pipeline, subject of extensive protests, was also ordered to shut down and emptied of oil pending an environmental review. And two major utilities canceled the Atlantic Coast Pipeline that would have transported natural gas across the Appalachian Trail into Virginia and North Carolina. But in Oregon, landowners and activists are still fighting the Jordan Cove project. According to From the Sticks blog, the U.S. Department of Energy also on Monday gave the green light for liquefied natural gas exports from the proposed Jordan Cove terminal in Coos Bay. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission approved the Jordan Cove LNG facility and the 235-mile Pacific Connector pipeline in March. But the project still needs several permits from Oregon state agencies to move forward. So this week, a group of Oregon landowners who could lose land because of the pipeline filed a motion asking the D.C. Circuit Court to invalidate FERC's approval. The motion argues that FERC violated the Natural Gas Act by approving the pipeline. The landowners also asked the court to immediately stay or pause proceedings and prevent Pembina, owner of the pipeline project, from seizing their properties until the case is resolved. For KDNK News, I'm Amy Haddon-Marsh.
That concludes the KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks for listening.